Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
You can turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Malachi, chapter 4. And while you're turning there, can I share with you a radical thought to begin our time in God's Word? Did you know that there is no such thing as an unanswered prayer? Now, I know some of you out there are saying, well, Scott, you might say that from behind a pulpit, but my mileage has definitely varied on that one. You might be thinking, I can think a lot of things I've asked God for, and I just have never seen a result. But let's take a step back and think about that for just a second. There is really no such thing as an unanswered prayer. Oh, God reserves the right to answer our prayers in one of three ways. And I think if you understand this, it'll give you a little perspective, making sense of how God answers our prayers. God reserves the right to answer all of our prayers in one of three ways. Yes, which we all love, right? I don't think anybody has ever complained when God has given us a direct answer to a request we've made of Him. No, well, that can be a little tougher, but we can learn to live with that. But the most challenging answer to prayer that any of us will ever encounter in our walk with Christ, dare I say, every one of us sooner or later will encounter in our walk with Christ, is this: wait. Wait. Oh, you know, when God asks us to wait, it reminds us of that old saying, God, give me patience and I want it right now. You know, the last thing in the world we want to wait for are times when God tells us to wait. But let me tell you something. God has never been a minute late, nor has He ever been, and this is what drives me crazy about Him, a minute early. I'd like early if I could get it. So why does God make us wait at times? Well, believe it or not, there is no greater opportunity for significant, lasting spiritual growth than those times when we've done everything we can in a responsible sense, and all we can do is leave the results up to God. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40 and verse 28, we read, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and grow weary, and the young man shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now, notice what God is saying there. There is no greater blessing that God can give to us, no greater gift, perhaps wrapped in a distressingly difficult package, than those times where God simply says, hang in there and wait. So, how can we make the most of this? Sooner or later, we're going to find ourselves in this situation. The big question is, how are we going to respond to it? What does it mean for us to make the most of times of waiting? Well, as we wrap up the book of Malachi, the last three verses of the book of Malachi, believe it or not, are the last three things God is going to say to His people Israel for 400 years. Talk about a time of waiting. And yet these three priorities we're going to see God leaves His people with between the time that Malachi spoke to the people and the time the silence would be broken when John the Baptist came on the scene are the very same three priorities we need to have in mind if we are going to make the most of times of waiting. We're going to see, first of all, the priority of God's Word in times of waiting. We're going to see the priority of a right perspective in times of waiting, keeping our eyes focused on the heavenly and not necessarily on the here and now. And finally, we are going to see the practicality that God wants to invest in times of waiting. Believe it or not, those times where we don't know what to do next, when we feel like we've come to the end of our resources, we've come to the end of our power, that's when the power of God, the presence of God, your personal connection with God can really and truly begin to shine. So let's pray this morning and ask the Lord to speak to us. Maybe you are in a time of waiting right now. If you're not in a time of waiting, I guarantee you, you're waiting for a time of waiting because it's coming your way. Let's make sure that we learn not how to react to a time of waiting, but to respond in a scriptural way to those moments where all we can do is trust. Lord, I thank you that you are an expert in how you work within our lives. Lord, you said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Our faith in him has led us into this beautiful relationship with you, but having been led into a relationship with you, you don't leave us there. You desire for us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, for some strange reason, one of the greatest tools in your toolbox is patience, simply enduring, even when enduring and exercising patience might not make sense to anyone looking in at our lives. But oh, what miracles happen, what powerful transformation, what amazing opportunities for growth there are. We learn to make the most of these times where all we can do is lean on you. So Lord, I pray for those who are waiting right now within the sound of my voice, maybe waiting for a healing, maybe waiting for a reconciliation in a relationship, maybe waiting for guidance and direction as far as the pathways ahead in their life. I pray, Father, that this would be a morning where you would speak specifically to them through your Spirit as to how they can make the most of this time and how they can position themselves to be like the old spiritual said, under the spout where the glory comes out. Thank you, God, for guiding us into your truth. Speak to us now as we wrap up this study in Malachi. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the last three verses of the book of Malachi say this. Verse 4 of Malachi chapter 4, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Now, if your Bible is laid out the way mine is, you look at that last line in Malachi and then you just see a long a blank piece of paper and the next thing you see is the New Testament. And that's exactly where we are in this set of circumstances. It would be 400 years before God would speak to his people through a prophet again. So what do you do? What do you do now? You know, have you ever found yourself in one of those situations where you say, I just don't know what to do next? Well, Pastor Chuck Smith had a famous saying about this. When you don't know what to do next, always fall back on what you do know to do. Now, that's a lot of wisdom and a lot of simplicity. And really what we see in these last three verses is the answer to this. What do you do when you don't know what to do next? What does God want you to do when you really don't know what to do as far as the next step goes? The first thing that God wants you to do in a time of waiting, you might want to write this down, is he wants you to focus on his word. He wants you to be in the word of God. Look at verse 4. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with statutes and judgments. Now, this is a very interesting description, not just of the priority of God's Word, but how to make the Word of God practical and personal within our lives. Notice the first word that we see here is the word remember. In Hebrew, that is the word zakar. Maybe you've heard the name Zechariah before. Literally, that means God remembers. Well, it doesn't mean that God somehow forgot his people. Or go, oh yeah, that planet Earth out there in that galaxy, I completely forgot about that. No, the idea of remembrance in the sense of this term Zakar, in the terms of Zechariah, the entire book of the Bible named after that, carries the idea of God remembering every detail of the mercies and the graces that he has already predetermined for his people. That God will leave no stone unturned, no detail unfulfilled in terms of his desire to bless us and to express his love towards us. Zakar, then, isn't just the idea of remembering God's word in an intellectual and a mental way. I don't know if you've ever come across those people that are really into Bible memorization. And if you've got a mind for it, boy, nothing is better than that. You know, again, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, so I might not sin against thee. And remembering God's word mentally and committing yourself even to memorizing a few verses of Scripture is a very, very valuable thing. But the idea of remembering the law of Moses that we see here isn't the idea of just keeping it in the forefront mentally and in an intellectual sense. It carries the idea of remembering God's word personally and practically, even passionately, is tied up in the nuance of this word. Now, let me tell you something. Your attitude towards God's word is going to determine your altitude in God's word. Have you ever been around those people who are constantly finding some new insight in the word of God? They are so excited about it, you know, and they bend your ear about it, and you're like, oh, that's great. Maybe, you know, it's one of those encounters you've had with a newbie Christian, you know, who's just discovering the glories of God's word, and they are just absolutely convinced they're finding things in the Bible no one's ever found before. You know, they come up to you and they say, man, you won't believe what God showed me in the Word. I mean, this is so mind-blowing to me. Well, what did he show you? Hey, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's right there in John 3 somewhere. Yeah, John 3:16, you know, the thing you see at ball games. Yeah, that's it. And they're so stoked about it. And you go, oh, isn't that cute? I used to be like that. So excited over these days, oh, I know John 3:16. Well, maybe we need to get back to that. Maybe that's the passion that unlocks the principles of God's word. Show me somebody with a Bible that is wearing out, and I'll show you a life that isn't wearing out. You know, why should we be so passionate about God's word? Well, it's the key to a blessed life. Consider what God said to Joshua as he prepared to take the reins over the people of Israel from Moses. Talk about a tough act to follow. Man, here I am, and you know, you talk about the next basketball coach to take the place of Lute Olson at the U of A. Boy, tough act to follow, right? You know, you'd never want to be in that place of comparison. Boy, pastors will tell you nightmare stories about going to a church that has been established by somebody over the years and then having to take that pulpit. And immediately people are going, oh, yeah, but you're no so-and-so. You know, oh, yeah, I remember back in the day. Boy, think about Joshua for just a second. Yeah, you could just see him warming up in the bullpen with the, yeah, Moses didn't do it that way. Oh, when Moses was around, that's when we really, never mind all the arguing and bickering and complaining that they did about Moses. But, you know, I'm sure Joshua was like, wow, how in the world can I possibly follow that act? Well, God says, here's how you follow that act. You stay close to me, Joshua, and you stay in my word. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7 says this, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. You may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Notice the key to Joshua carrying on in the shadow of Moses is to find his refuge in the shadow of God's wings. How do we find our refuge in the shadow of God's wings? By being in the Word of God. Remember the law of Moses, the number one priority. Don't just remember it intellectually, but embrace it passionately. In those times of waiting, you know, I guarantee you, the number one thing that's going to go across your mind is this. Oh, you know, I just don't feel like reading God's Word right now. I just, you know, my life just seems like it's stuck and at a standstill. Let me tell you something. I've discovered that in those times where my flesh starts to get the better of me, the best way to overcome it is to do the opposite. If Satan is saying to you, oh, you know, you don't want to be legalistic about reading that Bible every day. Oh, come on, you know, give yourself a break. You sat through that sermon in church yesterday. I'm sure that's going to be enough to cover you today. Boy, do the opposite. Remember God's Word. Have a passionate love affair with the Word of God, not because you've got to, but because you get to. Now, notice this perspective of God's Word that's revealed to us here. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded in Horeb for all Israel. Why does God bring their attention back to this particular incident where God communicated His Word in Horeb? Well, you know, the simple and obvious answer is this. At Horeb, this place in the Sinai, God revealed the Ten Commandments to Moses and to the people of Israel. And that was a very important, fundamental experience that they had there. You know, some people say, well, go back to basics. But even more importantly, you know, God would reiterate His Word to His people a number of different times, but this incident at Horeb was pretty dramatic. It was a real eye-opener, a real revelation, not just of what God had to say, but who God really was. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 16, consider this description of what happened at Horeb. It said, "Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called to Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up." Boy, could you imagine being around for that? I don't think Steven Spielberg himself could come up with the special effects that could describe what it was like when God Himself descended on Mount Sinai. How did the people respond? Well, flip over a page to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 18. Here we see exactly how the people responded when they saw what was going on there. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 18, we read this. "Now all the people witnessed the thunderings and lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, 'You speak with us and we'll hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die.' And Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that His fear may be before you, and that you may not sin.' So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was." Boy, two things you see there. Our God is an awesome God. God didn't just come down, you know, with a little, you know, 10 suggestions and, hey, if you guys are in the mood, you might want to do this sort of. No, God manifested His incredible power. And the other thing, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, you know, because we see it in past tense. We know how the story turns out. Moses didn't. Could you imagine what it was like for Moses to walk into that thick black cloud? The very presence of God, that first step, if you will. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Field of Dreams where, you know, again, James Earl Jones at the end gets to walk out into the cornfield, you know, and disappears into where the baseball players go when they're not there in Iowa playing baseball with each other. But could you imagine what it was like when Moses took that first step into that thick darkness and disappeared? Could you imagine the things that he saw, the experience that he had? No wonder Moses glowed like a high-beam halogen flashlight when he came out of the very presence of God. You know, once again, let me ask you a question. Do you have that sense of awe when you approach God's Word? Again, Malachi tells us, remember the law of Moses, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel. The power of God's word, the priority of God's word, the supremacy of God's word is still just as powerful today as it was when God spoke it there in Sinai, there at Mount Horeb. Do we see God's word that way? You know, it's a very important question to ask ourselves, because there's really two ways you can look at the word of God. You can look at the word of God with you being an authority over it. And what I mean by that is there are people that I call cafeteria Christians. They look at God's word and they go, you know, I agree with that. That must be God's truth. This part over here that's a little more difficult, I'm just not sure I agree with that. I like the verses about blessing. I don't like the verses about consequences when I get off the track. I think I'll just focus in on these passages and exclude these other passages. You see, we've put ourselves in authority over the Word of God when we do that. But then the wise believer is the one who puts themselves under the authority of God's Word. Remember the old bumper sticker? God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You know, that's a good first step, but I think you only have a truly biblical understanding of what God's truth is all about when you take that bumper sticker and just said, I believe it, that, or God said it, that settles it. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. God's word is forever settled in heaven. Boy, a guy who grasped that in a life-changing way was King David. In Psalm 119 and verse 97, King David said this about his love affair with God's word. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I've restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I've not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Boy, I'll tell you what. Show me your attitude towards God's word and I'll show you your altitude.
Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson. Be sure to join us again at this same time as we continue our journey through the entire Bible here on Sunrise. We'd also like to extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and the study of God's Word. Calvary Christian Fellowship is located on the northwest side of Tucson. Just go one block west of Interstate 10 on Prince Road and then two blocks north. Service times are 9 and 11 a.m. on Sundays. Our midweek Oasis service gets underway every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Our video extension campus meets in Oro Valley every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at the Lehman Academy. To join us, go one block north of Tangerine on La Cañada Road. To personally connect with us or to order an audio copy of what you heard on today's broadcast, visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. If you have questions concerning Calvary Christian Fellowship, the Bible, prophecy, or personal issues in your walk with God, be sure to join Pastor Scott live on this station for A Reason for Hope every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to be listening at the same time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.